Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I tell you, this was one of the toughest shows to prepare for. This show is going to be about Tommaso Cioni. I initially was going to do a show on the searches, what was and wasn't done in terms of the searches for Nancy, why some searches might not have been done, etc. And I'll probably save that because that is evergreen. I can do that at any time. But I was really stirred today when I was preparing to come on about something that's really been bothering me. And what's really been bothering me is the fact that Savannah Guthrie, in her pleas, combined with the local radio stations getting the first two letters, recall those first two letters that Savannah Guthrie says is involved, that law enforcement says is involved, that Harvey Levin gave a bunch of details to show how unique the words in those letters were to the situation there. In other words, inside information that only somebody in the letters could know, including what she was wearing, including the nightstand and the watch, and then also this broken floodlight. All these little details, and then you see the follow-up from law enforcement, of course. What were their actions? They took immediate action. They rallied the family. They got BAU to help with putting together a script for them. Five different times they addressed these ransom note writers. Look, the Bureau believes they're true. I can tell by what their actions were after, and then, of course, from what Savannah says. So, essentially, if you look at this, everyone, what has bothered me is this nexus to Tucson. A lot of people want to talk about Mexico. A lot of people want to talk about other places. But if you look at the nexus of where law enforcement has concentrated, if you look back at what the messaging has been from law enforcement, combined with the actions taken by the ransom note writers, by the abductors, those first two ransom notes, particularly targeting two local stations. It was 12 hours later they finally went to TMZ, when I think they didn't get the play in the media they wanted. I want to make it clear. Yes, do I think this was about money in large part? Absolutely. But it went to hell when Nancy didn't make it. So now you have no proof of life. Now you don't have anything. You still decide on day two to go ahead and go to the media, knowing that law enforcement is deeply involved by this point, knowing you're not going to get a dime. But I think this really speaks again to the evilness and the torment, the personal nature of this crime against the Guthrie family. The continued torture by those last two letters so they could just draw out what they were going to do to her. Remember, there's one note that basically is a soft close, meaning, and we don't know what it said for sure, but it's what I call a soft close. In other words, listen, if you don't do this, we're going to probably some horrible, torturous thing that they said they were going to do to her. And then in the second letter, if we don't have the money by the 9th, we're going to kill her. And then, of course, that's why you see the response to that. Listen, we know she's not alive, blah, blah, blah. So when you look at this, who would target them, right? Everybody is very convinced. And I am, too, in a big way, convinced that the reason that money would have even come into play is because of Savannah's wealth. $40 million, Savannah's wealth. Okay. So when you look at Savannah's wealth, that was certainly the carrot that was dangled. And I also think maybe the anger of this person, because this goes far beyond just wanting money. What has happened with this family is far beyond just about money. That's my belief. In other words, I really truly believe it was a kidnapping gone bad. And that was the initial. I mean, how better to get somebody back than to take almost 1/4 of their wealth from them, right? To demand that. So I believe definitely money was involved and it went south. But because the ransom notes were identified as being real, Savannah says they're real. She cries. She says, listen, it's because of me, right? And she has a conversation with her brother, Cameron. And Cameron says, yeah, it's sorry, honey. You know, so to me, they have so much more information. Does the FBI tell them everything or law enforcement? No, absolutely not. But there's a victim liaison person that has direct contact back and forth with these family members that they can go to. So in any event, what has bothered me is this close Tucson tie. And even though, as I said, we've focused a lot on Savannah, right? On Savannah being the catalyst, in a sense, for this happening. Not her personally, nothing she meant to do, but just her wealth, which she should just never obviously be ashamed of that. All her earnings and everything, she well earned. People love her. Millions and millions tune into her every morning, and I'm sure many more millions. I haven't looked at the comparison numbers before this incident, after. I bet it's skyrocketed even more. And in fact, I read that Hoda's coming on in place of her normal male anchor, that also skyrocketed. And the thought that perhaps because of that, Hoda could even come back. I don't know what will happen. I'm just saying that that's sort of the buzz. But my point is, we would be, to me, remiss in terms of understanding this case if we don't understand that huge link. She is Tucson's girl. Look, Nancy Guthrie is associated with Tucson. She's one of their most famous people that ever came out of Tucson. She wasn't just there for a few years. She grew up there. This family lived there for 50 years, everyone. I think that for many of us, I was totally nomadic. I don't know about you all, but nomadic. My parents, we moved a lot. I've moved my children 8 times before the age of about 14. So, you know, there's different family dynamics with everybody depending on their jobs, depending on a lot of things. But when you look at this family was not nomadic at all. This mother established this home for her children to be raised in. They had a father who tragically lost his life to a medical situation when he was in Sonora, Mexico. I know, Sonora, Mexico. Conspiracy theorists love to throw that all in, but it is true. It's true. It was in Sonora, Mexico. Which is, for many of you know, that Sonora has been mentioned widely in this case by at least one of the ransom note writers, one of the writers that's writing the notes that's saying, listen, we know where she is. We know who did this. Send us a Bitcoin, or actually they just want a half a Bitcoin, about $34,000, and we'll give you the information. They want what's theirs. They're not happy that people don't take them seriously, blah, blah, blah. They are the ones that mentioned Sonora. And of course, Savannah's father died in Sonora. So I don't think that at all that is by accident. I think those note writers the secondary note writers, I'll call them, the ones that wrote the notes when Savannah went back to work, her first day back to work. Unfortunately, they had to deal with two more notes that TMZ talks all about. When you look at all of that, those people are some of the most heinous people that exist, because they exist literally to torture these families of missing people. I've seen it in all too many cases. I'm still going to do that Fort Worth case. I want to talk about a whole ring of people that do that, that torture and torment and write to individuals involved in missing cases, the family of missing cases. But I want to get back and try to stay on track. And the reason I say this is one of the most difficult lives I'm going to do, it's difficult because with most lives, I like to speak on facts and what we know. For instance, yesterday, I hope some of you guys can catch that. It's all about the DNA, the different labs involved, the fact that there's a hair now, which is just earth-shattering information for us to know on this. Because when you have touch DNA, it's much more problematic than a hair. Even without a root, that's going to be able to be traced. I just said we need to be cautiously optimistic because that hair possibly could have absolutely nothing to do with this, even though I believe, obviously, they've ruled out the people that would normally be in that house. And actually, very importantly, Nano says that. Whether you believe him or not, I know everybody hates him and nobody believes Nanos. I've said it a million times. He's our closest conduit to knowing what law enforcement knows, because he is law enforcement. And by the way, he's in charge of the entirety of the investigation. I know I said I would have his quote saying he's in charge again, and that was very recent, just a couple of days ago. I'm going to get that for y'all. I keep forgetting to pull it. But nevertheless, he's in charge until there can be an absolute nexus. In other words, was Nancy taken across state lines? Did somebody come across state lines to commit this crime, or international lines? Until that happens, everyone, this is Nanos' case. This is venue. This is law. This is just the way it is. So I want to get back on, though, this Tucson nexus that even Savannah keeps saying, everyone, I'm counting on, you know, my local people in Tucson to help me with this case, that's where it lies. And so when you think about that, you think, who has this? I mean, a lot of people want to get $6 million. That's what the ransom is for. So that's not off. But who has this desire to torment this family? Who has this desire, and what is the linkage there? I've had a lot of people on, including literally helped write Mindhunter series, was the partner of John Douglas, Greg McCrary, who, again, if you can watch that episode, it ended up being a two-parter. So we got him for so much longer. I think he promised me a half an hour, and we got him for almost 2 hours because there was a glitch. And I've got part one posted front and center right now, but it's part two that's really good, where he gets into a lot of information. And that part is was seen pretty well. I'm going to put that part back up. Not just him, but a lot of other people that agree, of course. Mac agrees, many other people that I've interviewed and had on the show that have extensive law enforcement experience and or psychological or psychologists that have evaluated this. I've talked to Gary about this many times, Dr. Picado, and everybody believes that there is a nexus to Nancy or Savannah. And beyond just the targeting to me is such a generic, ambiguous word. Obviously she was targeted. There's absolutely, I don't think anybody left. Initially, there were lots of people saying random. If you look back, go back to that coverage, because people were saying, oh, it's random. It's a B&E. It's a burglary. No. Most of us that have worked these kinds of cases and are familiar with this sort of what's happening, we knew no way was this just some guy walking down our street saying, oh, this looks like a good house to hit. No way. So anyway, I think we're beyond, I still see some people say that, but I think it's just because they don't know the facts yet. So we're well beyond that. So what could be a nexus in Tucson? Who is closest held in Tucson? Savannah's been gone forever. She's been gone. She's been very much nomadic because of her job. I've learned a lot about, I haven't done a show yet on Savannah, but I'm going to. I'm kind of slowly preparing for it. I learned something new today when I was preparing for this. But I'm here to talk about the closeness to the community. Who is closest to the community? It's Annie, Nancy, and Tommaso. Tommaso, who, by the way, apparently prefers to be called Tommy, or at least the family calls him that. So I'll call him Tommaso because that's his legal name, and he hasn't given me the right to call him Tommy. That might be something more familiar. My family calls me something other than Jen. So, my closest friends and my family call me something other than that. But I want to talk about I've already talked about Annie. I know many of you don't believe my thought process on Annie, and that's fine. But I 100% believe she's cleared, had nothing to do with this. I think she is one of the ones that is so tortured. And if any of you have any interest, and you're welcome to give your juxtaposition if you don't agree with me, I did a whole segment on Annie, everything there is to know about Annie. Inside now. But I want to talk today about her husband, Tommaso. Tommaso Cioni. So Tommaso Cioni has been here in the United States, he's from Italy, more than two decades. They've been married since 2006, so about 20 years. From my research, he's worth about just under $1 million. I'm sure a lot of that is because of the equity he has in his house. He is a school teacher. He teaches sixth grade biology and what they're calling AP biology. So advanced biology, and I believe regular biology as well. Again, he plays in a band, by the way. Let me show you one of his band pictures. He plays in a band. It took me a while to find, actually, and I'm not going to play it here just because I have so much to show and go through. But he plays what I would call kind of grunge music. You know, it's kind of loud. My niece plays this. It's actually, she's probably more on the rock side, but still that very... intense rock is what I guess I would call it. And he has a band there in Tucson, and he has a drummer, and then he has another individual, Mr. Gonzalez, who is pictured here. I wanted to talk a little bit about him. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to talk about first how heavily and deeply involved in this Tucson community he is. Again, he's a teacher, so that touches a lot of tentacles, right? He has all these students every year that goes through that now you're interfacing with all these students, you're interfacing with their parents. You can imagine if you've done that for a decade, how many intersections you've had with other Tommasonians. Tucsonians. So that's what we call people in the Virgin Islands, and I spent many years there, so that's why I said that. But nevertheless, Tucsonians, other people that he intersects with. This is not a family that kept a low profile. He and Annie actually kept a fairly low profile. But what I'm saying is, I mean, compared to Savannah, not compared to Cameron. Cameron's a total low profile. But they basically had a lot of tentacles. Look, she ran a jewelry business, runs a jewelry business where she intersects and sells jewelry, poetry. She teaches at the university. These are people that are very entrenched in the community. They moved only 4 miles, I believe, exactly, 10-minute drive, 4 miles away from their mom, Nancy, where Annie grew up. This is like, so for those of you out there, just imagine where you grew up, and I've showed these videos, and you know, move there at a very young age, and you spend your whole life in that same house, right? Your whole life there. These people were entrenched and loved Tucson. Teachers, educators. And so they touched a lot of people. Again, we're talking about how the Tucson folks, how this case seems to be entrenched with possibly somebody from Tucson, somebody that really knows this family, somebody that, you know, didn't come from out of state or out of country, but that the person behind this is somebody so well entrenched with this family from Tucson, entrenched with this family. So what tentacles could be out there? And again, I'm telling you, this was such a hard life to prepare for because of this. I'm a fact finder. I look for facts. If I can see it, it's a fact. If I can read it and it comes from a reliable person and I can corroborate it, so a couple steps, it's a fact. If I only know it from source information, I will tell you all, this is being reported by this network and it's from a source. Now, yesterday's information, remember, was confirmed in part from the FBI. They almost seemed irritated about that lab stuff. We have been asking for 2 months. I was like, whoa. That was reported by ABC, but the quotes, and I put it in a tweet, front and center. The way that was worded was really negative against Pima County, to be honest with you. And again, not to digress, but to say again that it's, I just have to say this again, it's absolute baloney, BS, that the Florida lab kept the DNA samples knowing Quantico had particular expertise, but telling all of us that it was because they didn't want to redo the work they had done in terms of the profiles on the families and those comparison. And that's when many people believed, and certainly everyone hoped, that Nancy was still alive. So that made sense to me from working cases. I talked about this, that whenever you had a lab person switch, it was horrible because you're starting all over. Oh no, you know, they want to do their own, you know, quality control, and you're starting all over, and just time-wise, it was just bad. So that made sense to me. And I actually supported that decision publicly, very much so. Not now. Not now, when we find out that Quantico had particular expertise in an area and finally has this hair. This isn't a touch. It could be from anybody going by there and mixed profiles. Now, believe me, I believe there's a lot of touch DNA. I think there's so much other DNA. There's 5 other labs involved, again, according to ABC's reporting from their source. Everyone, if that is accurate, there's so much DNA. And actually, Nanos mentions that on one of his lives, or not lives, one of his interviews. I need to get that snippet up too. I mean, I'm drowning in Nanos, what he has and hasn't said. And yes, discredits himself often, but I'm telling you, in this particular case, I think there's more DNA for sure. And now we know a hair is the key if the hair really belongs to somebody involved. That's the kicker. But nevertheless, for those of you who are just joining, I did a whole live on Annie. I have made it crystal clear my belief that Annie and Tommaso did not murder Nancy Guthrie, did not abduct Nancy Guthrie, did not otherwise harm Nancy Guthrie. And I have said, why? Show me one fact. And that's been the difficult part of preparing for this live. I mean, I scoured everything. What is one fact? You know what people like to say? And I'm going to do a demonstration to show you how this is totally normal. But not today on another one. But I'm going to do a demonstration that brings home the garbage that's out there. Just like when people tried to say that Celeste Rivas wasn't dismembered. Whenever something like that comes in, what a good investigator will do is they will try to mimic that situation and see if it's even plausible. It wasn't plausible. When everybody was fighting all of that, it was clear, you know, I understand her remains weighed somewhere around 70 to 75 pounds when they were found because of all the deterioration of bone and of flesh and everything that was gone. But she was just over 100 pounds, 105 to 110. I've seen different reports on how much she weighed, about 5'1" to 5'2", exactly my dimensions. And that's why I've tried to fold myself up. I had my husband try to put me in a bag. None of that was going to work. And then, of course, finally it came out in the autopsy. She was dismembered. It's the same with this. I am going to do a video to demonstrate how something people are saying is odd isn't odd. But that's for another day. I want to keep on this about Tommaso and Annie. I already did Annie. I'm going to stick on Tommaso. Look. Tommaso looks the part. I swear to goodness, I think that that is a big reason why people just want to blame Tommaso. They think, some people might think he looks really handsome, like his wife, Annie. And some people might think he looks ominous. He has an ominous look about him. He certainly isn't porch guy, everyone. And I don't want to click because people get irritated when I do the clicking. But I have a side-by-side of the photo of Porch Guy and Tommaso on here that I could get. I am limited to how many I can have on here. But essentially, look at these eyebrows. These are not those thin eyebrows. Look at how far down the hair comes. This is a young person that's Porch Guy. And what I continue seeing, no matter what people are looking at, people want to say that Tommaso walks, hangs out, you know, he's like Porch Guy. It's so absurd to me. It's so absurd to me. But nevertheless, people want to say that that's a fact, that he's Porch Guy. Yes, it's still out there that he's Porch Guy. And it's just, there is no physical corroboration when you look at Porch Guy's face that we can see, when you look at Porch Guy's mannerisms, when you look at how he walks compared to Tommaso, there's nothing there, everyone. There's just nothing there to compare. People want to say that he is involved because, and literally this is all they have, because he was the last to see Nancy. Well, let's be clear. He was not the last to see Nancy. This is who was the last to see Nancy. So when I keep seeing that, I am, you know, he was the last to see Nancy. No, Porch Guy, minimally, and likely others were the last to see Nancy alive. So let's think about another thing. Why do other people think that Tommaso is somehow involved? They look at statistics. I look at statistics. I'm huge into statistics, but we're going to have Robin Durek on here, and he is the statistic master. I can't wait for that. But they say, statistically speaking, in a case, they try to say in a statistically speaking about elderly abduction that it's the family. That's just false. Anybody saying that, everyone, that is false. Do you realize the small amount of stats on an elderly abduction like this? I have absolutely perused all of the cases that have anything close to this type of case. There's not much close. There was a woman in her 60s that some people are trying to say is related. I don't think it at all is a match. She had a construction worker in her house. That construction worker ended up murdering her, having sex with her. Again, she was in her 60s and then buried or then got rid of the body outside of the house. It was easy to make because of the DNA. I don't find that at all interesting because she wasn't abducted. She was raped. That was a case strictly of somebody who saw something, saw an easy target, and was a pervert and decided to, you know, rape a 60-year-old woman because he had access to the home. So that's a crime of opportunity to a pervert. Another case that personally I found was in South Carolina, where an 82-year-old was literally physically abducted. The guy comes in, no mask, no anything. It was just another crime of opportunity. He came in because his car that he had previously broken had broke down. So he goes into her house because it broke down around her house. I've talked about this case. He has pizza. He's there for an hour. He takes her, puts her in a car, thankfully crosses state line, shoots her in the back of the head. The FBI takes the case. He's convicted. And that happened just a couple of years ago in South Carolina, if you want to look up that case. That case, to me, I thought, oh, good, this might be similar. No, not really similar. Another crime of opportunity. So now when people are murdered, that's a whole different thing. In other words, not abducted and no associated ransom. I think that's the biggest thing we need to keep in mind now is the ransom. The ransom that is involved in this, the two notes that Savannah Guthrie, believe are involved, law enforcement, believe are involved. We know by their actions, the FBI believes they're involved. When you look at that, this is a ransom case. So then you ask yourself, why would Tommaso Cioni, who was her caretaker, who saw her often, all the time, they had these Sunday dinners together. Why? If he wanted to kill her for some inheritance, which I don't believe existed, I think there's the house, which, you know, after taxes, after real estate fees, plus the amount of the money that I think that house will go for, which will be far less than it normally would have, which is only just over $1 million. Because of a tragic incident that happened, that you just get a lot of people off the radar. Then people don't want to buy a house where an elderly woman was abducted and maybe even died in that house during the abduction, bled on the doorsteps, caused all this pain and heartache. A lot of people would say, bad juju. There's another one down the street for sale or in another neighborhood. That's just a fact. So, having said that, there's just nothing for them to gain. She lived on a pension. Her husband that did provide a wonderful, remember this house, by the way, was only bought for $85,000. Now that was 50 years ago. This was a beautiful home, a nice large home with a guest home and a pool. This is absolutely an upper middle class type situation that her husband provided and that later she sacrificed. And Savannah's talked about it. I post at night a lot of Savannah Savannah coverage, talking about her family and her life, just to keep her in the media and to keep something going. I really hope you guys have a chance to take a look at that. They're at night, typically one at 5, one at 7, one at 9, or at least in those time frames, to highlight mostly this case, and I delve into other cases too, but basically to keep them in the light. And I do a lot on Savannah talking herself, just to keep everybody focused in on what Savannah's family, what Savannah's life, and what Nancy's life was about.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So nevertheless, Tommaso, there is zero statistical data that I know of that says it is very likely for an 84-year-old to be abducted by a family member. Now, when you're talking killed, that's different. In other words, if somebody went in there and staged, you know, and put together a murder. Also, we need to look at this important information, and that is there was surveillance done at the house. A surveillance on the 11th, it would appear. Savannah talks about this. She says, please, my local Tucsonians, look at this. We need you. Look at the 11th at night. Look at the 31st at night. Don't confuse that with the morning it happened in the early morning hours on the 1st. She specifically made that a separate date. The 24th came out of thin air. I don't know where that's from. I don't have anything to support that other than one source reporting, so I'm not even going to report on that. When I look at something, I want to see at least two sources, or a trifecta is perfect. In this case, I have a trifecta. I have multiple source reporting on the 11th. I've got neighbors and I've got Savannah. So to me, now we can take that pretty good as a fact, something we can work with. So we have the 11th, we have the 31st, and then obviously in that morning, right? That's what she's saying. Please, please help. Anything you saw on that night, and it could have even been further away. It could have been at the Circle K. It could have been where the person originated that drove that car that took Nancy, you know, who was up at that hour of the night, 1:47 general time of arrival, snatched that camera off, you know, forcefully took that camera away. So anyway, that's what she's asking for. This is all around Tucson, everyone. This, everything here to me is around Tucson. So how is Tommaso related to Tucson? How is he related to Tucson? We've talked about it. He's got a band. So people see him and they watch him play. He has a nexus with this gentleman. I've already done a show on the drummer. I mean, God bless that poor drummer. His family was literally held up. They couldn't even let their kiddo come home because of all the threats and, you know, horrible things they were saying. You know, I mean, it's horrible what happened to that poor drummer by people trying to say he's porch guy. Again, that's a little guy. They said, oh no, because he can drum, he's coordinated. It's just so, it's hard for me to do a show when I cannot have facts that back up a philosophy. So I want to introduce you. This is Mr. Gonsalves. Obviously, no relation to Kaylee. He is, for everybody who doesn't know this, he is a federal public defender. He's an attorney that works to defend individual criminals who have been charged by the state. I spent all morning looking him up and everything about him. So basically, who's in his band? He's got a drummer who, decade, I think it's 15 plus years ago, stole a watch, had an alcohol issue, has since stopped drinking, and is a teacher that everybody, oh, he has this terrible criminal record. Look at the details of that criminal record. But anyway, I talked about him. Don't want to revisit what I've already done, but I have never talked about Mr. Gonsalves, and I found him to be so interesting. He actually has been on numerous podcasts. He has a lot to say about the fact that he believes that individuals who are charged and looked at in the criminal justice system really don't get a fair shake. I'm just going to dumb it down to what his overall message is, either because of their minority status or because of other factors, their indigency, other factors that sort of don't give them a fair shake. So suffice it to say, he is a fighter. Look, the Guthrie family and people associated with the Guthrie family are very liberal in their points of views. I've already talked about Nancy in terms of everybody wants to focus on Savannah and that being the nexus to the person who decided to commit this crime. And I agree with you that Savannah's money and the exposure of her being on the Today Show certainly, sadly, and through no fault of Savannah's, likely opened the door for people to be able to target, you know, to look at her as being a good target. But I think it's deeper than this. I think almost all of us think that there's some other nexus. And I'm just asking, could that nexus be through someone Tommaso is associated with or has associated with over the last 20 years being in Tucson? You know, is that a possibility? And one of the people, again, is his bandmate. And this guy's really a cool guy. I he's well-educated. He's an attorney. He's diversified, right? He plays in a band. He plays the guitar. And he's, to me, I mean, he's a great guy. He's fighting for individuals who otherwise don't have anybody to defend them. And I believe strongly, and I know everybody else does here, everybody believes that everybody deserves to be represented. I don't care whether you're left or right. All of us believe, no matter how heinous you are, our system goes to crap if you're just accused and then convicted, if you don't have strong and rigorous defense of there. And that's what he does. So what could be a nexus between Tommaso and him that could have had somebody highlight her or come to her? All I'm saying is he deals with criminals all day long, every day. That's what he does for a living. He deals with criminals, charged criminals. And by the way, most of these individuals get convicted, not because of him. I'm just saying, generally speaking, that are charged in this venue, they're ultimately convicted. So they're criminals. And I just wondered if anybody that had, you know, he's their attorney, anybody who makes any correlation, could anybody in that realm have come on to Nancy? In other words, not all the exposure on the Today Show, but rather all the exposure through these Tucson nexuses, in other words, inadvertent nexuses. It's possible. We still don't know who all cleaned Nancy's house. How many housekeepers has she had over all these years? How many people did she have living in that guest house, everyone? You know, how many people? We had Philip Dubé on, and I thought he was really interesting. Philip Dubé says, listen, he thinks it is personal. Many people believe that there's a personal nexus. I do too, that there's a personal familiarity. But there is absolutely no motive for Tommaso Cioni to kill or have killed or paid to have killed Nancy. He is absolutely great living. I mean, a responsible living. I think he makes somewhere between $60,000 and $80,000 from what I could ascertain from the records. He's worth just under $1 million. His wife makes a good living too, you know, well over three figures between the both of them. They have one son. They interfaced with her daily. If they wanted to kill her, they would have never put together this extravaganza. I talked about people going out on the 11th and the 31st. They could have told them every little bit of information that they would have ever known or needed to know by a site survey on the 11th and on the 31st. It makes no sense to make multiple visits if you have this deep inside information, because they're risky. Multiple visits to a target location are risky. Even in for us in the FBI, when we're doing our site surveys before we're going to do an arrest or a search warrant, we were always, oh my gosh, you know, we have to be very careful. Obviously, undercover vehicles oftentimes use business type vehicles, things like that, often have a girl and a guy in the car. All these things, because we want to make sure we're not detected, that we don't look out of place. Because the last thing we want are neighbors looking at us and our whole plan, that's the important plan, the arrest, the search, getting foiled. Because, and we've had it happen. I tell you, one time, so I was the case agent, so I'm ultimately responsible. But two other case agents, I asked them to go and wire up our informant. That was their job. So I'm kind of running and setting people up on a particular location where we're going to do this meet. And I asked these two other agents, well, guess what they did? They went into a Denny's and did it in a bathroom. Normally, that's not too bad, but you better be at the Denny's in Southwest Houston and not in, you know, a block from where your target location is. So now there's these two people that look like they could be feds with somebody. And guess what? Somebody associated with the case sees them, foiled. You know, we find out about it. I was just sick. It was my fault, because I should have said, people, when you do that wire, that you got to do it miles away. I wanted it in a completely different cultural environment. Absolutely different. Anyway, you know, you just, there's no way that you want to take the risk of going there on the 11th, on the 31st, and then returning on the 1st, unless you have to. If you have insider information from Sioni, who goes there all the time, who knows exactly what that house looks like inside and out, you don't need to do, you certainly don't need to do two. You certainly don't need to do two and expose yourself. Also, as I mentioned before, they had full ability to be around her meds. They could have put in her meds, just open up one of those little capsules and put just the tiniest amount, unless there's a reason to believe there's something going on and that she wouldn't have just died of a heart attack. There are a lot of different poisonous substances that trace amounts that you could put in a capsule and she would have died of a heart attack. And with her heart condition and her age, nobody would have given it a second look. And labs do not test for these substances unless it's specifically believed and you inquire and you say, let's test for this and that. I'm not going to name them here. You probably know many of them. You can easily research this. But many, many things, if you wanted to kill her. If you wanted to kill her, you could have staged an accident in the house, had her fall in some way. If you really wanted to kill her, if you're Tommaso Sioni, when you drop her off that night, you walk in behind her, you help her get to bed, you do whatever you normally do in your routine. And then as she lays there asleep, you put a pillow over her. And that would be the end. And nobody would likely ever ever know. You would never stage this, I'll call it a Cecil B. DeMille, because that's what this is. Likely multiple people involved. In the dead of night, site surveys done, two ransom notes sent that are legitimate from the abductors. You would not torture this family. Look at what is happening with the subsequent notes. I'm not saying they're from the abductors. I'm saying we don't know. But what I'm saying is they have been thoroughly, absolutely tormented and tortured. And they continue to be. So people say, yeah, but did you see, this is another reason. Did you see how they acted? Did you see how they acted in the car? Oh, I saw it. I posted it. They had their heads down. They had like a hoodie over. That's because everybody thought they had done it. It was already, the cat was already, I'm not going to say, I'm using a wrong word. They had already been accused. People were already accusing them. They were already having to listen to friends, neighbors, family, not family, but other people say such horrible things. In these high profile cases, this is why you're seeing, we saw it in Idaho 4, this is why you're seeing law enforcement come out and say, here's our list of people who are no longer believed to be suspects. In Idaho, they did it every week. Because those kids, the Jacks, Dylan, Bethany Funk, others, they were getting absolutely harassed, called murder, called horrible things. It still happens, by the way, everyone. It's still happening to them. Because these wackadoodles get this confirmation bias in their head that no matter the evidence, no matter, you know, DNA at the scene, no matter somebody pleading guilty, all the other evidence in any case, if they get it in their heads that somebody is involved for whatever reason, they just roll with it and they can't get it out and it's stuck. So yeah, they had their heads down. And yes, for a time, they even had some of their social media go down. Can you imagine what it would look like? I tell you, I don't know if any of you have trolls. I certainly have trolls. And sometimes I'll open up my social media. I'm like, oh, this is just depressing, you know? But, you know, for me, I just water off a duck's back, move on, because I know what those kind of people are. So nevertheless, they were getting it inundated, not only on social media, but in real life. Okay, I found this. Some people said, well, this is why we think they're guilty. They think they're guilty because they had the car. Do you see what an oxymoron this is? The public wanted, everybody wanted to know, you start off with the family. Is the family involved? How do you do that? You do polygraphs, you do interviews, you do search warrants and or get consent searches to go to somebody's place, you get all their digital devices, and you take the vehicle that took Nancy the night before the abduction, and you tear it up to make sure you don't miss anything that could show a sign of struggle, or that could show something happened in that car, or that could show that the vehicle data would indicate that he came back, or to show that the vehicle data showed up and back every Sunday night, because that's what they did. She took an Uber on Sundays because she didn't want, you know, they were cooking and whatnot. So she said, I'll just Uber over to you. I don't find that at all odd. I don't want to drive because I don't want to drive back at night. I can't see well. And so I'm going to Uber over while you're making dinner and doing all of this. And then Tommaso, for safety reasons, not having her Uber back, he gentlemanly like escorts her back. And I've got more on that later in another show. But this, everybody was, oh, they had it forever. They, you know, I called Pima County and talked to the PIO. What's going on with the car? And I posted this, and they specifically said, we're returning it We're returning it. They just are going through the process of returning it because they had to fix it. They had torn it apart. I should show some pictures. I mean, a good one is Brian Koberger's, but there's other vehicles. You have to tear it up to get to everything you're trying to get. So that's going to take a while to put it back together, to give it back to them in the state that it was in before. So people are so mad or not mad. People use this as a fact to say, see, they were really guilty. They kept that car forever, but yet they wanted a thorough investigation of the car. They got a thorough investigation of the car and it was returned. Do you think if Tommaso Cioni was involved in this, that they would have given this car back? Does anybody think that? Because I promise you, the answer is no. No, no, no. Another thing, and this just came out. Well, it didn't just come out, but this is something I just saw. People are really willing to go to this low, right? Look, if you look to the right or left, well, it depends on how you're looking at it. My right, as you're looking at the stream, this is a fully AI gross picture that doesn't look at all like Tommaso, in my opinion, where they fabricated how he looked to try to make him look more villainous in some ways. And then they're talking about, this is all baloney. It's all junk. There's absolutely no support of this. I took this, I looked at it. No. No. And guess what? Because he likes rock music, punk music, however you want to call it. Listen, actually, I should have brought up my clip so you could listen to it. It's just music. It's his taste in music. With a fellow teacher and an attorney that's a public defender. You want to say these guys are all in on this? Because he likes that music? Because you don't like the name of his songs? You know, after retiring, the first thing I did was, of course, set up a company to teach defensive tactics, self-defense, marksmanship, how to shoot, how to handle a gun. The reason I bring this up is, and I really liked doing it. I really enjoyed doing it. But it was like I felt something was kind of missing. And I remember talking to my husband, you know, I don't know whether I need to do soup kitchen or just volunteer all the time at some place for women's shelter. I mean, I already did some of the loose stuff, right? On certain holidays or certain times we do that, or, you know, deliver popcorn or blankets or whatever, or do different things like that. But I was talking about something was calling me more deeper. And of course I was up to my eyeballs. I was coaching my son in football every single weekend. I was the offensive coordinator. And well, I was the head coach, and then I was doing both the offense and the defense. And my husband knows a lot about football. And I was like, please, I need a defensive coordinator because it was just too much to handle. He came on as the defensive coordinator. Anyway, this is totally an aside. I coached my son for 6 years and, you know, loved it. Our teams went undefeated all 6 years, won every championship, except I will say the very last year. We lost by, I believe, 1 point, and it was terrible. It was horrible, horrible loss. My husband and I really were like, he's like, why did you get so fancy with that play at the end? And I'm like, why didn't you close them down at the end? Anyway, all that aside, I'm completely went on a tangent there, but I went on a tangent to say that people's extracurricular activities, what they're doing, nothing points any fingers at Tommaso Cioni. Not his connections with his bandmates, This is all nonsense and baloney. He never had any gambling issues. He's worth almost $1 million. He had every opportunity for years to do something to Nancy if he wanted. This is way too elaborate. The bottom line is, in researching Tommaso Cioni, I'm sorry, but I can't find anything. Not one shred of evidence. Not one shred that he was involved in this. Not one shred. I can't find any gambling debts. Can't find anything other than rumor and garbage. I want to say this. I respect everybody's opinions. I do. And in fact, that's why I spend so much time looking into why people think this. That's why I spend so much time, because I think, am I missing something? You know, I need to dig deeper. I need to look for connections. Could somebody that they knew, Annie and Tommaso, because I'm concentrating on them because they lived there 20 years and everybody, it's obvious there's a deep Tucson nexus to this case. And so could it be somebody that Tommaso knew or Annie knew beyond everybody knowing Savannah, because she's in your living room every day, and Nancy, of course, with her huge footprint on this community. All I can tell you is there is zero information that I've been able to uncover that he had anything to do with this. None. Not only did law enforcement say they were cleared weeks and weeks ago, and I know people say, no, it wasn't law enforcement. Oh my gosh, this is so nice. Oh, I'm going to go back up to that. But first, I just want to thank Top Stop for becoming a member of our channel. So appreciate it. That is just the number one accolade when people become members. And we've got some cool stuff we're going to be doing for members. We're working on it. We've already got some cool stuff we've done, but we've got more. Sorry, I want to get this back up because I think I've only ever seen red on my screen one other time. And I said, red? What is red? Kimberly, thank you so much. I think it's financial. T, property taxes not paid. Inside job. You're the best. I don't know anything about Tommaso's property taxes not being paid. I will look into that. I promise you. That's easy to find on tax records. Those are very easy to find. But I just can't find a reason. I can't find any facts to show that Tommaso's involved in this. And I can't find anything to show why any of these family members would have done this in this extravagant way. I can't find a motive, and I can't find anything. I always said this on, for instance, on the Karen Reed case. Why would you have Mrs. O'Keefe and Brother Paul so closely, you know, friends with John's friends if they thought they had anything to do with it? If you hear Savannah talk, how she talks to Tommaso, it's really Tommy, she calls him. They're close. They love this man. Look who went with them. Look who went with Savannah, comes in town. Huge celebrity. Who does she have go with her? Look at her grab Tommaso. She knows the pain he is in as well. This whole family is in pain. But particularly Tommaso and Annie had the closest relationship with Nancy in terms of proximity, being able to see her every day. They're caretakers. And for those who say that that's a motive, oh, caretaking is a burden. Look, she lived on her own. She was in her mental faculties. She wasn't somebody that was, you know, in a diaper that didn't have a life. She was on the Today Show all the time. It wasn't a burden. It's when you are caring for somebody you love like that, that helped raise you, that took you into their family, it's love. Why do you think they had her over to dinner? You didn't have to do that. It's a sign of love and a sign of caring. And that's all I ever see. I can't find any evilness other than what people make on AI. I can't find it. I've looked. So, I mean, I'll say this. For anybody saying, yeah, look at other family members that you thought were nice and sweet and loved their family member that took out their family member. Not like this. This is an abduction. There's two ransom notes. This was well thought out. This was well planned. This is something that is so unusual that statistically speaking, you can't line up statistics. Did somebody, though, that Tommaso and Annie knew, did he ever come to work for them? Or she? Did they ever have an issue? Did anybody have an issue with Tommaso or Annie? I mean, we've seen things go crazy over, you know, grades, over disagreements, over so many different things. Did anybody, his bandmate, any of those criminals he's dealing with, did any of them ever have any intersection or just come on to the idea knowing about, maybe they never watched the Today Show and they didn't know anything about Savannah. But they knew about Tommaso from the van, and then they came to know about Nancy, and then they came to know about the money with Savannah. There's so many possibilities, but for everyone in the audience, I agree personal. I agree somebody with a close nexus. Anyway, I really do appreciate everybody. I appreciate all opinions, and I always say this, everybody in the audience, you all could be, you all are jurors, right? You all could be jurors. I'll never be a juror. Nobody will ever select me. Law enforcement never gets selected. So anyway, that's where I stand on this. If somebody wants to DM me or otherwise has some nugget of proof, not because he dropped her off. We all know that. Not because they kept his car. I've explained why. Not because they don't like how he looks. Not because he plays in a band. He was well accepted by the family. That's my belief. In any event, everyone, thanks for spending your Sunday morning here with us on Break the Case. And I'll continue to read the comments. I know my mods are amazing at sending me important comments that come through and calling those to my attention, things to follow up on. So everyone, I appreciate each and every one of you. And until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all the missing.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.